last remaining unbeaten team in the NFL. They'll get set for the Raiders later on this week. But a 10-point win as dogs, that means Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, the success after a bye week continues. Patrick Mahomes is now, what, 12-1-1 against the spread as a dog. He's got 11 wins as an underdog. Just don't, you know, you mess with them as a dog, man. It usually doesn't go well. Brock Purdy should never be a favorite over Patrick Mahomes again. I'm sorry. He just
Patrick Mahomes should never be an underdog to any team in the NFL. Look at the record. They weren't an underdog in any of those games. They've only lost three of them, and they've covered in every single game in which they've been an underdog. It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. Next up on What's Trending, all three locals winners over the weekend. Kansas put a beatdown on Houston. Oof. I asked genuinely whether or not they were able to win a game after the rough start to their season, but their slide-ins, nobody looked more impressive this weekend than Kansas State.
Yeah.
And what I thought was kind of a tricky game against West Virginia on the road, Avery Johnson, his single best game of the year in a clear victory. And Missouri managed to scratch, claw, fight, dig their way through a win against Auburn over the weekend. And Hugh Freeze's bunch, who has not had a good season, they've got Alabama this Saturday.
Huge game. What, 2:30? I think they assigned the kickoff.
Yeah, it's on ABC, actually.
Yeah, 2:30 on Saturday will be Missouri and Alabama. Obviously, high stakes game coming up. Next up on What's Trending, we know the World Series matchup. I know it's not going to thrill a lot of people, but Yankees, Dodgers, Fox, the TV network's got their dream. LA versus New York.
I mentioned it to you guys. Did you see that there was a promo during the DS series for the Yankees and Dodgers?
Are you going all conspiracy?
I'm just saying.
You going all conspiracy?
My wife and I, we were watching the Royals game.
That's fair.
And there was a commercial that popped up, only Dodgers and Yankees highlights in the commercial. It said, it's the playoffs. Well, I was like, hang on a minute here.
I mean, obviously, Judge, Otani, Soto, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, the stars are unbelievable on both sides. But I will be, if I have to root for somebody, I will Dodgers. Root for the Dodgers. I like Mookie Betts.
I like Shohei.
I think Mookie Betts is incredible. Seems like a really good dude as well. Obviously, Shohei is just an all-timer. And it's the freaking Yankees. Screw them. I understand both teams spend a ridiculous amount of money and all that. But I got to pick one. I'll pick the Dodgers over the New York team.
Gross. Exactly. I don't feel good rooting for either uniform in this case.
Yeah.
Dodgers have far more likable people, and I'll die before you catch me rooting for the Yankees.
I must say, though, Juan Soto. Just, I mean, that at-bat that he had, what, two nights ago, where, I mean, was as good as it gets. Ultimately hits the home run, but, like, just the way he approaches his appearances, and then mid-appearance, he kind of, like, stares at the pitcher, I'm sorry, and, like, basically kind of, like, okay, I got you figured out. Okay. All right. Yeah. And then hits a home run the next pitch. There's nobody that has, like, more swag, but also just backs it up, if that makes sense, than
Juan
Soto.
There's a reason why he's going to get $600 million or $550 million this offseason. As a reminder, Juan Soto's a free agent who can sign with any team he wants.
Doesn't that mean, like, based off of them getting the World Series, don't you think there's no way the Yankees let him walk now?
Absolutely.
There's no way.
He has to sign back there. Yeah, they'll make sure he signs back there.
Yeah. Plus, it's just a perfect stadium for him. Yeah, he's going to sign back there. Next up on What's Trending, injury update news in the NFL. The Browns have officially sent out it's already been reported, but the Browns officially confirmed it. MRI this morning, they said, confirmed Deshaun Watson sustained a ruptured right Achilles tendon in the second quarter of the game. Says the injury will require surgery and his season is done. He'll miss the remainder of the 2024 season. The other quarterback who got hurt yesterday, Jaden Daniels with a rib injury, he's expected to undergo more tests today to find out where he was. His mom was tweeting last night that he was fine. They obviously did not need him for the rest of that Carolina Panthers game. But as good of a season as they've had to start, they certainly wouldn't want to miss any time with Jaden Daniels.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We're expected to hear from Andy Reid run a little bit late today, but the only place on a Monday you can hear from Andy Reid is 96.5 The Fan. So you aren't missing anything. We'll let you know. Who knows? Maybe Cody, we won't get I haven't had a chance to talk to him. Maybe he's talking to them now.
Oh, that'd
and we'll
great.
Actually get confirmation on said injury today.
Mm.
I'm sure that's what it is. I'm sure he's talking to them, and that's why we're running a little late today. You seem
it's good to be
skeptical,
you know,
of that theory.
I would bet, and nobody would take this bet because it's, I'd bet $1,000 he says a sentence, "We're just getting in. I haven't spoken to them."
That bet against you.
It would be minus, here's the thing. If it were in a sports book, it'd be minus 800. That's the favorite.
Okay.
for what he would say, you know?
And like, so,
I'd have to be giving you odds almost.
So 5-1 plus 500 that he gives confirmation that he's got a broken ankle.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know, man. The fact that the later this runs, before it starts, gives me more optimism that actually we might actually get an answer.
If that was a bet you actually placed, $1,000 for -800 and you lost, oh, you'd be sick to your stomach. You wouldn't be able to continue the rest of the show.
Every once in a while, someone will do that on those, like, it's like -200,000. Like, this gentleman bet $10,000 or bet $200,000 to win $5,000. And you're like, no, don't risk $200. Like, just put it in an interest-bearing savings account. Or I know that's less fun, but, like, don't do that. You could still lose the $200,000. Weird things happen sometimes. But, yeah, no, I don't worry about it. Look, I'm excited because whether he gives the update or not, this defense is the reason why this team wins games, and that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. They have the league's best defense again. They have not allowed 30 points, and they played 20 games last year. They've played six. They have not allowed 30 points in 26 games. I want you to think about the teams that you, like, Drew, was it you earlier that said you think the Steelers have the best defense in the NFL?
After the Chiefs. If the Chiefs have the best defense, the Steelers are second, yes.
Sure. Like a team that you're like, yeah, that team is just as good as them. Defensively, the Steelers have let up 30 points like 3 times in that amount of time, right? Not this year, but like in the last season, they let up 30 points multiple times. They didn't have to go through the entire Super Bowl run. It was the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl the last time they gave up 30. That's not even the same defense.
2022?
I told you last week, I think this defense is better than last year's. With every passing week, it'll get harder to argue the other side.
This defense has time and time again shown who they are, what they are. I mean, the Jalen Watson injury, I think, is going to test them again. But if you're confident that they'll be fine, it's because of Steve Spagnuolo, and it's because of the track record that they have had as a defensive unit. And I still think what's exciting about this defense is that later on in the year, they are going to get Charles Omenihu back to add to this. Mm-hmm. But teams can't run on them. Number one wide receiver has been shut down. That's where I worry a little bit without Jalen Watson, that now it's McDuffie and Nazi Johnson, Joshua Williams. That's where I get a little concerned, and we'll see as the weeks progress. I told you earlier, I think we won't know how big of a loss it may or may not be until they play the Bucs, because that's Chris Godwin, that's Mike Evans. Whereas this Sunday, it's Gardner Minshew throwing to Jacoby Myers and their next best weapon, if their best weapon actually is probably Brock Bowers as a tight end.
He's their best weapon total.
Brock Bowers get his yardage, not really concerned. We saw that George Kittle got 90 yards. It didn't matter. Kyle Pitts had one catch and got like 70 yards. Didn't matter. Like, I don't care what tight ends are doing against the Chiefs. It's not a problem. It just isn't.
If you got him in a fantasy game, sure, start him.
Yeah, man, that's fine.
Get your points, but outside of that, don't do that. The text line did ask, when's the last time the Chiefs scored 30 points? They last scored 30 points November 26th against the Las Vegas Raiders. So 11 months ago, it's been a little while. They scored 33 times last year against the Raiders, against the Chargers, and against the Bears. So, I mean, that's 3 more times than they've given up.
30. Last 2 games out, they have been very, very close to getting to that mark.
I think what stands out more is how many times have they allowed less than 20 points? I want you to think about how easy it is for the Chiefs, even with an offense that isn't performing under its normal circumstance, how easy it is for them to get them. They've held, last year in the postseason, they let up less than 20 at least one time. 3 of the last 5 games of the regular season last year, Gold, they let up less than 20 points. Like this season alone, what, 3 times? Falcons didn't get 20 points against them. Yesterday, 20
Chargers
points
scored
against
them.
Chargers only got to 10, is it 4 times? So 4 times this year they've allowed less than 20? Yeah. Matter of fact, the only times they've allowed
Cincinnati
more than 20 points are the first 2 games this season, in which they allowed 20 and 25. They've let up 17, 10, 13, and 18 the last 4. So 3 of the last 5 regular season games last year, 1 out of 4 postseason games. I mean, half the time they're letting up less than 20 points over the last 12 games that they've won, right, in which they've been 12-0. There's a reason why.
Yeah,
it's all back to the defense.
They're a defensive first team, and that's weird to say with Patrick Mahomes and all that, but it doesn't matter how you accomplish the goal of the three-peat. And last year, they didn't get back-to-back without the defense. And the hope is, again, that come playoff time, you do get superior play, and you're like, well, what are the chances of that? Well, we saw it last year. Suddenly the offensive line had their best stretch of games of the season. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes played great in the postseason, and the defense still played at a very, very high level. But they're not suddenly just going to start winning games 34-28. That's not who this isn't 2022. Certainly not 2019, where you had to win 38-31. That's not where they're at. It's a different era of this regime right now, right? Of this dynasty, I guess I should say. It's a different era of that, within that. And this is how they have to win right now. Now, 2 years from now, maybe the defense stinks again and the offense scores. And I guess for fans, they'd in weird ways, some fans would rather just see the 38 points because it's fun and exciting.
Well, I can guarantee it, sure.
And your fantasy football team is doing better because you drafted all Chiefs players. So you're upset because you drafted Xavier Worthy and Rice and neither are doing anything for you once hurt. That's where I think sometimes people get way more down on the Chiefs. In Kansas City, even on particular things like, oh man, the offense is terrible, can't do anything, even though the defense is as good as it gets, and that's why they're winning games, is because of the world we live in with fantasy football now and everything. And so that's how we perceive it. Like, well, if they're not doing, or a rookie wide receiver isn't having a good rookie year if he has 700 yards, because in fantasy football, 700 yards isn't good enough for you at the wide receiver spot during a season unless he had 8 touchdowns. So sometimes I think that has skewed everything in how we view football nowadays. And defense, though, the best teams in the AFC right now, the Baltimore Ravens defense is down. Their offense is up. The Steelers are, what, a number 3 seed in football right now currently? Is that right? They'd be the 3 seed or something like that in the AFC?
Technically, yeah, because the Ravens Chargers would be the 6. That.
So the Steelers would be the 3 seed. They're doing it with defense as well. On the NFC side, the Lions are doing it with everything. I mean, the Lions are pretty damn good.
If it's not the Chiefs that are the best team in football,
it's definitely the Lions.
It's definitely
the Lions. Not even close, man.
And especially if they still had Aiden Hutchinson,
yeah,
you'd be making it even stronger.
Their defense is going to take a hit, but their offense is back to being what it was a year ago. So the Lions right now offensively are what the Chiefs were many years ago during this run. They're winning with offense still. The Chiefs are winning with defense. I think it all, you know, kind of 360s or 180s, I guess I should say, eventually.
I just think you just got to win with what's at hand. Like, Tom Brady didn't end up winning the Super Bowl, but the year that they went undefeated, they were one of the single greatest offenses in NFL history because they had Randy Moss. It was the first time he had done things like 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, but nobody blamed him when he was winning Super Bowls when he'd have 21 passing touchdowns and 12 interceptions, and they had the number one defense in the land, because that is what part of Tom Brady's career looked like. The difference is that was in the early part of his career, not the middle part. And so people start to view it different because they've already seen the gaudy numbers that Patrick Mahomes is capable of putting up in a world-beating, world-class offense. But that's just the way that it is. Can you win, given the pieces that are put in front of you? And the answer is yes. The year before, Tom Brady finished the season with 4,800 passing yards and 50 touchdowns. The year that when he was 30 years old, and they went on to lose the Super Bowl to the Giants. The year before that, Tom Brady, in a passing league, by the way, this is not like 1991, this was 2006, finished the season with 3,500 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, and 12 picks. Listen, not world beater numbers, but they won. You know why they won? Because they had the second best scoring defense in the NFL. Just do what it takes to win. That's all I care about. Any more with the Chiefs in particular, that's really all I care about. We can talk about stats this grades, year, or all those things, but defense is why they win these games, and great. I'm all for it.
It shouldn't matter anyway when we're talking about like how many rings you win, but especially in a three-peat campaign, you're trying to do something that's never been done. You certainly shouldn't care if people outside of this market are like, well, Mahomes is getting carried by his defense. None of that should matter. They're going for a three-peat. And if he has a three-peat under his belt, it doesn't matter. Not to mention, I still, as we said earlier in the show, yesterday, the stats don't tell the story. It's why you shouldn't just look at a box score. Patrick Mahomes, yeah, the defense was great. Patrick Mahomes had two massive game-winning type of plays offensively to make sure that this game wasn't in doubt, too.
I think the other part about it is they're still winning in some similar ways, but the difference between is now they're the best run defense in the league.
Coach Reed's press conference sponsored by Arvest Bank, making banking easier for customers for more than 60 years. Arvest Bank, proud to serve Chiefs Kingdom. Let's go out and hear from Andy Reed exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan.
He won't be ready this week. Juju won't be ready this week. So two different things there. As far as the game goes, I liked what I saw as far as just the team effort, all three phases contributed. We've got some things we can obviously work on both sides of the ball, special teams wise, likewise. But there are some real positives that we can take out of the game. We rushed, obviously for a lot of yards offensively, defensively. I guess a strong offense. We were able to hold them in their rush yards and hold them relatively, and likewise in the pass game with the three turnovers. That was big. And then special teams wise, McColl had again a nice return there. Ariza was really punting the ball well, field position wise. I thought was a positive. I thought defensively, I thought Chris Jones just, as he's done every game, has just been really a dominant force. And people know that. I mean, the Raiders will know it too. They played against him before. But this guy is playing at that MVP level, defensive MVP level. So he takes a lot of pride in being the best, and right now he's doing that. He's showing that. So offensively, again, there were some good individual things that took place. With Kareem and the other running backs, I thought really ran hard. Pat had some big time runs for us. Pass game, we got to get a couple things worked out. But we'll get that taken care of. Kelsey had another productive game, as did Noah. And that combination was good for us yesterday as we went through the game. So, again, all in all, and both lines, I thought on both sides of the ball did a nice job. And that is really where everything starts, and your production starts on both sides. It makes the secondary and linebackers look well on the defensive side. It makes the receivers, tight ends, and running backs look good on the offensive side. So, with that, time's yours.
We'll kick things off with Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hello, Andy. I have two questions for you. The first is, you guys have used Travis in a number of ways this year, but I just wonder, obviously given his age, just what impresses you most about his ability as a blocker for other guys in the offense?
Yeah, he's so willing to do that. He just wants to win is what he wants to do, and make sure that we're doing well offensively. He's not selfish that way. He just wants to be in there, right? He wants to be in and playing. And as a result, if you take out the offensive lineman out of the picture, he's always one of the top play per game guy. And that's him. And he prepares that way during the week. He busts his tail during the week. So, and part of that's the run game. And he makes sure that he stays on top of that.
And then secondly, considering Juju's injury, how much has there been a discussion about elevating one of the guys on the practice squad, whether that's Nico Remigio, Justin Ross, where have they progressed from the last time we saw them, obviously during the preseason?
Yeah, really all those guys on the practice squad, we've got a lot of trust in, so and feel good about. And we've talked about it a little bit. I'm going to get with Veach here after we're done, and we'll go through everything. But I just came out of an offensive meeting and had a chance to talk to those guys and see what their thoughts were. We'll see. I haven't had a chance to really get with Veach on it.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick. Matt?
Hey, Coach. Two questions for you. One, you mentioned Chris is playing at a NFL Defensive Player of the Year kind of level. How important would it be, and what would it mean to you, Chris, the organization, for him to get that award? And how much do you, is there you have to kind of campaign for the Chris in a position like that, since there's so many things that he does that doesn't show up in a box score?
Yeah, Matt. I mean, everybody goes off of sacks. I mean, you kind of know that. They look at sacks first, but what he does in the run game and the pass game, to me, is what constitutes somebody for that spot. And he's done this over and over a number of years here, and he's been close to the number of votes in that award with Aaron, you know. But it's now, the thing that's amazing is here he is at this age and being paid what he's being paid, and the Joker just comes out and goes 100 miles an hour every play that he's in, pass and run, and he's dominant at that. And you know, he's everybody's target. He'll be the Raiders' target this week from an offensive standpoint. But he works through that, and Joe Cullen helps him with that. Spags helps him with that. But the kid's there every day, and then every week, and so I get to see that.
And then with some of the rookies, you know, we saw a little bit more from Jaden Hicks, and obviously Chris Roland Wallace had to play a bigger role yesterday. How much of the management of some of this rookie class and these younger guys has been with the understanding and expectation that you're going to play a 2021 game season and wanting to make sure they don't hit that rookie wall?
Yeah, there is a rookie wall that the guys can hit at times. We try to manage that the best we can. We've had pretty good success with it with the young guys, where we can kind of get them through that phase. But the guys they're working hard. They're contributing in the games. And then, we'll just, as the college season goes on, I'm always, when you start getting around that bowl time in there, and guys, that's when they go, oh geez, we still have 7 games left or 6 games left. And, that's kind of where you gotta look at. But we try to do a good job working them through all that.
We'll go next to Nick Jacobs. Nick.
And Kelsey, I'll have a follow-up if I can, please. Andy, for you, throughout this year and through a lot of these big moments, it seems like the team can just find a way in the fourth quarter to lock in and close things out. Where do you feel like that's kind of happened for you guys over time?
Yeah, Nick, I think it starts with your locker room, your coaches, and just how do the guys like each other, like playing together, and then that whole trust thing that they develop with each other, I think, is important. Everything's not going to be roses when you're playing. You're going to have ups and downs in games. Very few teams go and win every game during a season. So you literally take it game by game and make sure you're taking care of business this week. And but I think the locker room has a big part of that. The coach's attitude with everything has a big part of that.
And then lastly, for you guys all getting together Friday night to be able to go watch high school football and everything, for you kind of on the sidelines, is there times where you're kind of looking at something as a play caller and seeing some of that? And what did it mean to you to see Tate be able to throw that game-winning throw there in the final 10 seconds?
Yeah, how about him, man? Gee, man, both those guys, gee. And playing opposite each other, that was something. And they're both great kids. So, but Tate's a gamer, and he's been that since he was a little shooter, and now, KU's going to get a good player, from all this. And it was great. That was a big game for both teams, and they love playing against each other. So it was great to have all the support out there. And it was hard for all of us to, you can't root for one side. You've got to go right down the middle, because these kids have been at our training camp. We all love them. So they've worked our training camps, and you get to know them, and they're fighting their tails off to beat up on each other a little bit.
We have 3 more quick ones for you. We'll go first to Pete Sweeney.
Coach, the snap numbers indicate that Nazi Johnson will end up being the choice, at least first, to potentially replace Jalen. What have you and Steve seen from him in A, getting back, and then, and B, what he's been able to do since he's been back that gives you confidence that you'll be okay there?
Yeah, Pete, every week he's gotten better and stronger. And so that's the main thing. He's a good player. It's that he has the confidence in his leg and the leg's strong. And that just happens by playing. So every week it's been a positive going forward. And he's ready for the spot. And, you know, two's also been in there. He's done it. And so he knows what it takes. And two different body types, and we'll need both of them. And they both need to step up. Watson was having a heck of a year. So now it's these guys have an opportunity here to step in and do the same.
We'll go next to Seren Petro. Seren?
And I'll have a follow-up, too, if I could. Coach, you've obviously been dealing with a lot of injuries here, but not just injuries that you know going into the game. You've been hit a couple of times with wide receivers going down, wide receivers that would seem to have played, Rashee Rice and then Juju this past week, that were going to be a big part of the game plan. How do you weigh that? Is that something over the years you've learned? You know, that's why there's – oh, geez. That was my phone. Sorry. Is that something over the years you've realized that, you know, it just is something that, you know, you have to be prepared for, that, you know, someone might go down.
Yeah. The coaches, I think, do a good job with rotating guys in during practice, making sure that everybody knows everybody's spot and, that you can function. And so yesterday was smooth. Connor's got a big part of that, on his plate because he does all the substitutions, and trying to get everybody in on time and moving around is not an easy task. When people go down. So, but he did a good job the last couple of weeks with that, just making sure things ran smooth. The calls were easy, personnel wise, getting them in. And I give him most of the credit there.
For a follow-up, I know you ended up getting an interception, getting the ball right back, but just, you know, what goes into the conversation? I know Dave's in charge of the special teams, but when you decide to do a fake punt, how much of that is, you know, something you figured out during the week, and how much of that is something that maybe you guys are spotting something in game when you decide to make that call?
Yeah, that one, we thought we had something there, and David practiced it this week, you know, I was aware of it, and he made me aware of it during the game. So I was aware that it was going to take place with a certain look, and they gave us a look, and we got to do a little better job executing it, but trying to stay aggressive, especially against that crew there. They're a good football team. So
we'll close things out with Todd Lebo. Todd.
Yeah, Coach, maybe a follow-up on the culture you guys have built. You mentioned Travis willing to block and Chris going 100 miles an hour on everything. Patrick seems to be driven by wins more than anything. I guess just how unique is it to have your best players seemingly be unselfish, and kind of what that means to the culture of your team as you get through a long season?
Yeah, Todd, you're around these guys, so you know this, but that's the way they operate. I think that's positive. That's a positive culture to have, and then the end result helps too, that you are winning. I mean, that helps. So, and how you get kind of handle the highs and lows are the important thing. That'll carry you through the whole season. If you can handle the lows, like you're handling the highs, well, that's a plus. So you got to stay driven to do that in either case. And, so far that's been the guy's approach and the coach's approach.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. So that was Andy Reid's press conference here on 96.5 The Fan, sponsored by Arvest Bank. We're proud to serve Chiefs Kingdom. The big note out of that, of course, was Andy right away. That's a pretty early in the week to just go ahead and say that Juju Smith-Schuster, right hamstring, not going to play on Sunday against the Raiders. Also ruling out Jalen Watson, although he didn't confirm that it was a broken ankle yet, did not confirm that he's, you know, maybe done for the season. But both Juju Smith-Schuster and Jalen Watson are out already for Sunday's game against the Raiders. I wonder what Juju, depending on the severity of this, is like, hey, he's going to just, we're just going to rest his hamstring for a couple weeks and maybe he's back for the Buffalo game or something like that. We're going to talk more about this on the other side, Cody, but I don't know. I just don't know numbers wise, even like, how do they not go out and just go get somebody at this point? Juju Smith,
like today, this afternoon.
Yeah. Let's talk more about this coming up next here on Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys can always interact with us. 913-586-7965. If you're just joining us in the lunch hour, Andy Reid spoke a short while ago, confirmed at least the near-term injury status for a couple guys. We didn't get the definitive stuff, but Juju Smith-Schuster, right hamstring issue, already out for Sunday against the Raiders. Jalen Watson, ankle issue, already out for Sunday. Nobody surprised by that portion, as multiple national reports are saying that Jalen Watson has a broken ankle. The Chiefs not confirming that yet. So two big injuries, and specifically on the wide receiver room, just gets thinner and thinner. You and I, right before we went to break, we're just talking about, like, I just don't know how, unless you're just going to elevate Justin Ross or something, number-wise, they have to have somebody else. I mean, you're just, they're way too thin from just a pure number perspective now, on top of the ability of the guys that are in the room.
It's hard to imagine unless in the next 4 hours while we're sitting here, 6 hours before the day, whatever, that they'll not start one of those guys versus the guy they trade for. I mean, how soon would they have to make a trade if you were like, they're playing on Sunday for this team? Not like Thursday.
I mean, I know Andy's different, but the recent example, of course, is when Amari Cooper got traded to the Bills Tuesday afternoon, and he had a great game on Sunday. But you're right. Andy Reid's scheme is different. He also just approaches it differently. At the very least, I think we'll see Nico Remigio or Justin Ross activated from the practice squad or whatever if they don't make a trade, or maybe even if they make a trade. But you're just running out of numbers. I mean, right now, from a healthy perspective, let alone if you're just happy with the room, you're talking about Worthy, Hardman, Moore, and Watson. They're not going to the game with four. So there's one more that has to just be added from a numbers perspective. You got to have five receivers on Sunday. So you're either calling up the two names we mentioned, or there's a signee or a trade. I mean, something has to give just from a numbers perspective heading into Sunday's game. I know it's the Raiders, but they're not going into the game with four active receivers.
No, and look, this always opens up the door. You'd be like, for a team that hasn't lost yet, this opens the door for more likely to lose. I'll just be honest. If you walk into a game and your number one wide receiver is Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson is your two, McColl's your two, Justin Watson's your three, and Sky's your whatever.
Yeah.
Remigio, your five. I mean, I have a lot of faith in this Chiefs team to win in a lot of different ways.
9.5-point favorite Sunday, by the way, is where they're at.
And Juju Smith-Schuster didn't play 98% of that entire game, and they still won by double digits against a team that was incredibly shorthanded. So I'm not saying they can't win the game. I would obviously still pick them to win the game. I'm just saying you're opening up the door to let yourself get clipped on an AFC game, a divisional game. Those are important games. If you just roll into this without making the trade. Now, it's time to trade. Just make a trade. It's time. I mean, no more of this like, oh, the deadline's in a couple. No, just trade. Today, tomorrow, by Wednesday at the latest, go find the wide receiver you want, the one that a team will give up for you. I don't care if it's Deontay Johnson, DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to cap yourself if this is the only one you make, but do something. You got to put some more depth into this room today.
I hear you. Now, good thing they are playing the Raiders on Sunday. We'll be starting Gardner Minshew. They haven't lost in Las Vegas. Obviously, they have good memories there from their last game played in that stadium was a Super Bowl win.
Bad memories from the last time they played.
That was at Arrowhead, though, right? That was at Arrowhead. That was Christmas Day. But yes. And obviously, we just mentioned the line, the Chiefs 9.5-point favorites. All right, let's go to what Adam Schefter had to say, because it fits with what we're discussing here. Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show, and he was asked about the Chiefs wide receiver room and maybe some trade possibilities.
I think that they're going to be checking around and asking about wide receivers. But here's the thing. Like, we could bring up some of these other wide receivers, but they like to get people who know that system, generally speaking, who Mahomes is comfortable working with. And we're seeing Josh Allen getting to know Amari Cooper right now. We know Aaron knows Davante Adams. So everybody's different. I think in a perfect world, it's somebody like a DeMarcus Robinson that knows the system and knows the quarterback that would fit there that could provide some help. They still could use a little bit of help at the wide receiver position. It wouldn't be a surprise if they made a move. I don't know that it's going to be some big splashy move. They'll look into everything, of course, but I think it's more likely that it'll be a less heralded, more inexpensive, less draft capital player.
I unfortunately agree with Adam Schefter. We've been talking about that for a week and a half or two months ago.
I said to Marcus Robinson, that still feels right.
Just the but also the last point he made, which is like, we already know they weren't interested in Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bills got him, sure, but they just weren't interested. We don't know why, but whether it was draft capital, whether it was ability and all that, but they weren't interested in the number one names on the board. They just weren't. So even if I found out today, or we found out today at 1 o'clock that DeAndre Hopkins was totally available. No, I don't think the Chiefs are trading for DeAndre Hopkins. Like,
he's also pretty low on the board anymore, isn't he?
Yeah, what I'm saying is, like, I want Deontay Johnson. I think you would be very happy. Based on what Adam Schefter's saying, that's not in play. I would like to think that the Juju Smith-Schuster injury changes that, but this was Adam Schefter. I mean, that audio is from the last half hour. I mean, that's fresh stuff. That's not from the weekend. That is post-Juju Smith-Schuster injury. And that's what Schefty is reporting, that maybe they go and make a move, won't be a splash, and that's why DeMarcus Robinson fits that billing. Now, the Rams, what, they won this weekend, I think, so the Rams 2-4. You start to wonder, when do they start to be willing to do that? I don't think they'll do it, Drew, until Cooper's fully back. And I know Cooper was available, but until that receiver room for them, right now, they still need the bodies themselves. So I think
if they're not done yet, if it's DeMarcus Robinson,
doesn't it feel like that's going to have to be much closer to the deadline?
Unless they wanted to just mail the season in, I guess. Then
Deontay Johnson's best fit, best timing. Panthers are cooked. Andy Dalton's still their starter for some inexplainable reason, according to Dave Canales, unless he changes his mind. They're fried. They got no talent. They're losers. They're going to be a top three pick in the draft. They're done. And Deontay Johnson clearly wants to get the hell out of there. There's no better fit than that.
Would love Deontay Johnson. He was quoted yesterday after the Panthers loss. He said, quote, everybody's frustrated, but he can't play every position on the field and make every play. He just need get my man out of Carolina. He just needs out.
Yourself.
He got traded from Pittsburgh to Carolina for what, like a 7th round pick or something like that. Mm-hmm. He's not getting paid that much money. Final year of his deal. It could also set you up to have a nice relationship with him to potentially bring him back in the offseason. You know, if he plays for you this year, it gives you a better chance of retaining said player because he's comfortable in your system and comfortable with the coaching staff and all of that. So Deontay Johnson is the number one option for me, but based off of all the reporting out there, it suggests that that's not something that maybe the Chiefs are willing to do.
DeAndre Hopkins, Deontay Johnson, and I guess somebody remind me, is there a second wide receiver on the Browns we're trading for?
Jerry Jeudy, but he hadn't done a damn thing.
Those are the only
Cedric
teams.
Tillman had a really good day yesterday. But,
you know, like those are the only teams like that are just done. Like cooked, fried, no chance. Technically, the Rams are only two games or a game and a half, two and a half, whatever.
That's true. That division, the Niners haven't pulled away. We just saw where they're at and what their record is.
Yeah.
My thing with DeMarcus Robinson.
The Niners aren't even in first. The Seahawks are in first place in that division.
I don't doubt that DeMarcus Robinson is an improvement on the back end of the receiver room, obviously over Sky Moore, et cetera. No kidding. But, man, people change, people improve, football players get better. But I'll just remind people, for those like clamoring for, I know you're not clamoring, but for DeMarcus Robinson, everybody was frustrated and was happy to see him leave because he couldn't run forwards. He ran backward. He would catch the ball, 3rd and 8. He'd catch it at the sticks. He'd run back 3 yards, and then they'd be short, and we'd all be like, "What the hell are you doing?" I just want to remind you,
the Super Bowl, by the way, on the game-winning drive, Mahomes overcame it, but he. Yeah. Do you remember when he caught it?
Yes.
He lost like 4 yards.
So before we act like he's, let's just be reasonable about our expectation if they bring him back, and not act like, "Oh my gosh, the greatest trade ever," either, because people didn't want his ass near this team 3 years ago now.
I just think he's an upgrade over the back end. Of the wide receiver room. And what I'm looking for, and essentially what Schefter is saying, is where's an upgrade? Like, I'm looking for an upgrade. I'm not looking for a savior. They don't need a savior. They're the number one defense in the NFL. They got the best coach, the best quarterback, still got Travis. They don't need a savior for this team. This team is 6-0. They need an upgrade at wide receiver. They need improvement at that position. And the whole other thing that we don't know, that they have a better sense of, they have a better sense of this is, does Hollywood Brown even have a 5% chance of coming back to this team? Because if it's 50-50, they think Hollywood Brown could be back by week 17, well, then they're probably viewing this thing a little bit differently. Knowing that come postseason time, the only time any of us care about in Kansas City anymore, I don't care about regular season games all that much. I mean, week to week, sure, but like, I whatever overall. I mean, if they think there's a better chance than I know, well, then that changes the calculus a little too. I understand the like, what level of player is he when he returns part of the
conversation? Yeah, we don't even know. Sure, I mean, there's the...
But he's an upgrade, too.
There's the coming back from injury. There's also... He's caught one pass in a preseason game from Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we don't know the timing and all of that. He's not coming in and stepping in and being your number one wide receiver when he returns, if he returns week 17. You know, like he could have a role, and obviously it moves Sky Moore further down the depth chart and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's an upgrade in that regard.
For those people who say, like, you know, no team's going to trade with the Chiefs because they don't want to give it to him. There is a truth to that, but here's a little bit of a truth to it. I don't think that there's a line. I'll pay the tax. Like, I'll just tell you right now, the Chiefs are the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. They're 6-0 with a chance for NFL history. I'll pay the tax. If you're telling me every other team in the NFL could get Deontay Johnson for a fifth, but it costs the Chiefs a fourth, I'll pay it. If you're telling me every other team in the league can get Deontay Johnson for a fourth, but it costs the Chiefs a third, I'll pay it. All I'm telling you is I'll pay the tax that it cost to get him there. Because the truth is, you're not paying that much of a tax anyway. Whatever the Chiefs give up in an additional higher round draft pick, right now that pick is 32. Not looks like it's going to be any worse than 29. Like, they know where that pick is. They know what they're paying in that. I'll pay the tax. I'll pay the good team tax.
We know they have an additional third round pick as well anyway. Yeah. It's not going to take a third to get Deontay Johnson. So
it just took a third to get Amari Cooper.
Correct. So it's not even the same at all when it comes to that. And I know everybody's worried. Sometimes we overvalue draft picks and all that. I understand you've got a general manager in Brett Veach who is as good as it gets right now in football in a variety of areas. And certainly the draft is one of them. And some would say, well, that fourth round pick could end up being the next Trey Smith and all that. I hear you, but also you're in the position right now, and what is your pressing need? It doesn't mean that the Chiefs dynasty ends if they give away a fourth round pick. It just doesn't. No. They have an extra third round pick this year.
There's also the difference. Like, I see people saying, hey, trade for Garrett Wilson. The Jets are cooked. The Jets are cooked, but in a different way. There are teams that are cooked and know they're bad, expect to be bad, and are fine with being bad. And then there's teams like the Jets who've put every single last egg they have into this year's basket. They just have to try to be good. They don't have a choice. They can't sell and hope. They just have to. They're out here overpaying Hassan Reddick to end a holdout. Dude, they're never selling.
We're going to talk more about the Jets and that Sunday Night Football game, including what Russell Wilson looked like in the 1 o'clock hour, because I definitely want to talk about where do the Jets go from here. Who's next to blame? The kicker, I think, is the guy that's going to get cut this week from the New York Jets. But let's get to the random question.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. And, of course, we'll hear for you over on the Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook streams. Live stream the show 4 hours every single day. Morning show and afternoon show. Live stream theirs as well. So we're 12 hours over here at 96.5 The Fan. The question I have for you today is related to Snoop Dogg. You might have seen a recent interview Snoop Dogg did in which he discussed the one regret he had when turning down a $100 million deal. Did you see what the $100 million deal was for? OnlyFans. He got offered a chance to do OnlyFans, in which they said he would earn, their estimate was $100 million. He said, sometimes it's not your decision. I'm thinking with the little head this time. No, I got to think with the big head. That Excuse way me? You're not getting into this. He's saying, think with your brain, not your, other parts of those things. Uh-huh. The question I have for you today is it relates to this, because he turned it down. It's $100 million. It's a lot to Snoop Dogg, even for a guy who's worth tons and tons
of money. I can relate,
Snoop.
I can relate.
The question
similar is, position.
What's the dollar amount you'd quit your job right now that they would guarantee you to do OnlyFans? You got to do it, though, man. You got to do it.
You realize, though, there's different levels of content that is on
sure,
there. So I've heard.
This is a fully nude version is what you have to do. What's the number that you'd quit your job and do that instead? There's no number?
Oh, there's a number, but there's
is
also...
Snoop Dogg's number is at $100 million?
It is tens of millions of dollars.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Yeah.
So $100 million, you would say yes.
Like, Drew, $100,000 a year, you quit this job and go to OnlyFans?
$100,000 a year? Absolutely not.
I think it's $20 million or more.
$500,000 a year?
I think it's $20 million. And you can say, oh, Gold, you do it for a million. You have to understand, I'm not able to get a job in a lot of places ever again the minute that happens. So it has to be... It's got to be
enough to not work again.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's north of $20 million. Absolutely.
In this case, it's a... Let's say it takes you to retire. Essentially, this is a 20-year contract.
Uh-huh.
You state the numbers...
Oh, nobody's going to want that content 20 years, okay? They may not want it now, but 20 years, they definitely don't.
But
they
definitely don't want it. That way they're getting their money.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, like, what's the amount of money that you would agree that this is your job for the next 20 years, and then after that, you're done?
Yeah, it's north of 20.
I got to do it till I'm 60. Mm-hmm. You got to do it till you're 53, mm-hmm. and then you get to retire. North of 20?
Yeah.
But 25 million to probably get it done?
I think so.
That website's going to be gone in 5 years, probably.
Yeah, in terms of popularity.
What, you think people are going to be less horny in 5 years, no. Drew? OnlyFans is not going away.
There's going to be another one. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Fine, but you got to create content for whatever site.
It's not going to be OnlyFans.
For the next 20 years. At least once a day.
Cody, your number should be a billion. You won't even go to a damn strip club.
$1 billion.
You won't even go inside and pay off your bets.
Look, I think
that's a very good point.
Here's my bigger problem versus like what you two both suffer from at the moment. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to suffer from the familial embarrassment, right? The like people in your life who you're related to who know that you do this for a living. And I got kids. Kids. One day they're gonna know that this is what you do for a living. I think I'm at the Snoop Dogg number. $100 million and I'll quit. I'll give it all up. But I don't think I just
Someone
do it.
Says
like
that's so cap, Alex. If you got a chance to take pictures and nothing, here's why the number can't just be 100 grand. You're like, oh, you do it for. Here's why, because I would not have a job. You understand? And there's a lot of places that would not hire you.
And that's not enough to just like that's never work again.
That's why you can't do that. It has to be a dollar amount where if somebody would say, "I'm never hiring you," you're good. That's why I actually don't think it's BS.
I want retirement numbers. You know?
Yeah, it has to be. Like, yeah, 100 grand sounds amazing. Trust me. Not for that though, because Cody, I think you and I have had a discussion before, like on air even.
By the OnlyFans? I don't think so.
Well, yeah, we did because we had the trash of the day about the teachers.
Yeah.
And I said, I think you would be fired the next day if all of a sudden they found out you had OnlyFans content. You'd be fired. You'd be fired not only for the content part, but also just like you can't sign a contract and use like your, you know, we're under contract. There's a whole like that would go under like your creative
clause,
that would be viewed as like they have the rights to some of your creative.
Competing. Well, but they don't want
there's
that.
There's not
content
an Odyssey OnlyFans. Thank goodness.
You need to be an independent.
I don't think they want that
then.
at 965thefan.com. You know, I don't think they're going to take the website over there.
Oh my goodness, I would think not. Look, I'll be honest. I don't know if there is a number because I don't want that to be my legacy.
That'd be my legacy.
I think I could provide proper entertainment. However, I don't think that would be what I want my legacy to be.
There's definitely a number. It's just a high
Someone
number.
Says, the way Cody's putting it, the next 20 years would be your job. You would not need to get another one. Right, but I'll tell you this. If that was my job for the next 20 years, it's going to be a hell of a lot more than what I make doing this. I'll tell you that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
I don't think there's a number for me.
$25 million would be $1.25 million per year.
Someone says, what if it's just the feet pics?
Well, the number's
way lower. The dollar amount's way lower. Uh-huh.
I know what you're doing with the photos, but, you know, it's just my feet,
This came up because, are you sure this is because of what Snoop said, or were you actually considering?
No, this is just what, I thought the article would be funny based on what Snoop said.
Mm-hmm.
$75,000 for 20 years doing just feet pics.
No.
Yes?
Oh, feet pics? Sure. Yeah. If you could promise me I wasn't losing my job,
For
how much? People would know I'm doing it, but people would know I'm doing it. But you'd have to promise me I'm not losing my current job.
Yeah, for $75K. I mean, it's just like
$75K a year or one time.
No, $75K a year.
Yeah, we're in.
You don't lose your job, but
just feet.
But you're out of the industry for 20. Like you have to do.
No. There's better earning potential in this job than that.
Yeah.
Again, it's got to be more than more than I'm making or more than I have a chance, you know, any of those things, Drew. But if you say it's 250 grand a year for the next 20 years, I guess I'm out of the radio game.
I was trying to move the line. I was trying to push to how like, if you guys, how much would it take for you to do that?
Nope. Up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. I want to talk a little bit more about the Jets and Steelers game last night, plus the situation on the defensive side of the ball for the Chiefs with that injury news next.